I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 7 as we come to our final installment on our series in prayer, Lord, Teach Us to Pray. Lord, Teach Us to Pray. It's fascinating that when you study God's Word, there are 650 prayers recorded in the Bible. What is extraordinary is that in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels record 19 occasions upon which Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed. He would pray in solitude. He would pray on the mountainside. He would get up early in the morning and get in a boat and go to a quiet place. Jesus would pray in public. Jesus would pray with his inner three, Peter, James, and John. Jesus would pray with the disciples. He would pray with the masses because prayer was his life. And I want you to notice this morning the purpose of prayer. I'm going to give you four purposes of prayer. And I'm going to challenge each one of us to take our prayer life to a new level. Now, how many of you would acknowledge this morning before God and before your church family that you believe there is room for improvement in your life related to prayer? Would you raise your hand? We can all identify that. In fact, every year, especially around New Year's, I'm always saying, God, take me to a new level in my prayer journey with you. Well, let me give you four purposes of prayer. They're in your listening guide, if you'll write these down. Number one, to nurture your love relationship with God. Prayer is not about ritual. Prayer is not about routine. Prayer is a relationship. Prayer is the avenue through which we nurture our love relationship with God. So prayer is God's idea. Remember, God initiated the love relationship we get to enjoy with him, and God invites us into the relationship. And as we choose to draw near to God, he draws near to us. I've used this statement a couple of weeks ago that we determine the level of intimacy with God. And if you are experiencing a distance from God at any level, if at any level you feel like God is far from you, who moved?
We did.
And the concept is that we draw near to God because prayer is the avenue through which we nurture our love relationship with God. And notice what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7. Now, it's very important to remember in Matthew 7, these words that Jesus speaks are in the context of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount. See Coach Petro here, and whenever Coach Mike Petro was coaching my son Austin in baseball, we were on the Crusaders team, and after every game, we would have just a time to connect with the players, and Coach Petro would give them a charge as they would depart. And one of my favorite experiences, Coach Petro, you'll remember this, is he felt led after a practice to bring all the team together around the mound. He took the bucket of balls, put the lid on it, and he sat on it. And he shared a sermon from the mound. I'll never forget that, Coach Petro. It was powerful. So remember, Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount. And here's what he says in Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asked him for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asked for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, what a great phrase, how much more will your heavenly Father, your Father who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Now, if you don't mind writing in your notes there, maybe you would give this concept. In the language of the New Testament, it is literally keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. So it's not a one-time event that you wake up, you have a need upon your life or a burden that you're bearing, and you say, you know what? I'm going to ask, I'm going to seek, I'm going to knock, and it'll be done. And I'm going to check that off my list, and I'm going to go live my life. That is not what Jesus is painting here. The portrait he is painting is that of nurturing your relationship with Almighty God. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. And what it demonstrates for us is the power behind persistence. That God wants us to ask. God wants us to seek. God wants us to knock persistently. And your view of God will dictate how persistent you are in prayer. If you believe God is who he says he is, if you believe that God will do what he says he will do, then your prayer life will be in alignment with that reality. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Now that's the command. What's the promise? Notice, for everyone who asks, say it with me, receives. Now the Bible says, Paul quoting Jesus, you have not because you ask not. You've got to be willing to go for the ask. You've got to be willing to approach God and to ask. Sometimes we go to God and we feel that, well, to ask him this would bother God. It's too minuscule. God's got too much going on, too many other people to worry about. He's got a universe to run. And you think that your item, your situation is too small for God. Or maybe you're going through a very difficult season. It's overwhelming to you. And you're thinking, I can't even bring this to God. It's too big. Can I make an announcement? There is nothing too small for God. And there's nothing too big for God. I remember when I was going through the ordination process when I was much younger. And Tanya and I were dating and planning to get married. And I had an ordination council. And it's on a Sunday afternoon, about 30 or 40 ministers there, and they just grill you with all kinds of theological questions. And one pastor asked me this question. Is God big enough to create a rock so big that even he couldn't lift it? Now, how would you answer that? That's a pretty tough question. Is God big enough to create a rock big and so big that even he couldn't lift it? Well, it's really a paradoxical question. It's a paradox. You can't answer it without defying Almighty God. So here's how I responded. Thank God he spoke as I was speaking. I said, well, God would never do anything contrary to his nature. God can pull off anything. God can do anything. There's nothing God cannot do, but he would never do anything that would compromise or contradict his nature. And another preacher said, amen. And I was like, whoo, thank you, Jesus. Let's go on to the next question. Ask me like, do you like ice cream? Let's go there. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, because everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. And then Jesus talks about our earthly fathers and how they treat us. And maybe you had a wonderful, godly, giving father. Maybe you had a selfish father. And what Jesus is saying is whether you have a godly father or a selfish father, in light of the holiness of God, we're all selfish and flawed and fallen. And compared to our human fathers, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Here's number two. Not only to nurture your love relationship with God, but to align your heart with God's heart. To align your heart with God's heart. If we can grow in our prayer life, to move beyond this cafeteria-style prayer where we just pray the same things every single day, and we expand our understanding of our love relationship with God in our prayer life, that it's not about checking off a list, it's not praying through a certain prayer, but it's about nurturing that love relationship, and it's all about alignment. It's aligning our heart with the heart of God. And what you have to understand in this prayer relationship is that God is speaking to us through his holy word. If you say, but God's not speaking, if you'll spend time in his word, you read God's word, that is God communicating to us. That is God speaking to us. And then as we pray, we are coming into relationship with what God's spoken in his word and what we need to hear from God as we articulate our hearts to God. But it's all about bringing us into alignment with the heart of God. I love Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So often we focus on, well, he'll give you the desires of your heart. But don't miss the condition. Delight yourself in the Lord. Jesus demonstrated this so beautifully in the Garden of Gethsemane, one of his darkest moments, when Jesus knelt and prayed, Father, may this cup pass from me. Remember that prayer? It was not this cup that I'm going to drink right here. It's this cup of wrath. The fact that I'm about to go down a path that will lead to my crucifixion. I'm about to go down a path that will cause me to take on the sins of the world, and I will become sin so that they can become righteous. And Jesus, in his brokenness before Almighty God, he brought his desire to the Lord, and he said, "May this cup pass from me." In other words, Father, if there's any other way to accomplish redemption, if there's any other way to bring forgiveness of sin, if there's any other way to pay their sin debt in full and purchase their salvation, if there's any other way, may this cup pass from me. Now, that was the humanity of Jesus being so transparent before Heavenly Father. And then he prayed this, nevertheless. Say that with me, nevertheless. One more time, nevertheless. Not my will, but your will be done. Come in a little bit closer. Whatever you're going through right now, it's obvious you want God to work, right? Maybe you're going through a difficult season of adversity. Maybe you're going through a season of uncertainty. Maybe for you, you're going through a season of silence. And you just really don't know what direction to go or what to do next. I'm going to challenge you that you just come to the Lord for alignment. And you do that through submitting your will to God's will. By submitting your agenda to God's agenda, and by yielding to his control and saying, "Lord, I want you to have your way in my life. God, I'm going to bring my ambitions. I'm going to bring my dreams. I'm going to bring all that I am and all that I'm not, and I'm just going to submit it to you. And I pray that you'll bring my heart into alignment with your heart, that you'll bring me to a place where I fully yield and submit and surrender to your agenda." Because church family, remember, it's not about what you can do for God, but it's all about what God wants to do in you so that God can do his work through you. And the question is, are you in alignment? Surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and yield to his prompting. Number three, to join the sacred privilege of intercession. I hope you understand this morning that you are here because someone interceded for you. Did you know that? You are here today because somebody was praying for you. I love that song, "Somebody Was Praying You Through." Not only praying for you, but somebody was praying you through. Many of us have been blessed with a godly grandmother who knew how to pray us through. One day, I'll see Mama in heaven. She was a prayer warrior. My mother is a prayer warrior. She won't only pray for you, she'll pray you through. Tanya's Maw-Maw Brunson, you want somebody to pray for you. If I'm ever going through a hard season or have a difficult meeting I'm anticipating, I call Maw-Maw and say, "Maw-Maw, I'm about to step into a hornet's nest, and I need you to cover me in prayer. And I tell you what, I got to hold on to the wheel while I'm driving, because when she prays, the power of God falls." That's intercessory prayer. It's praying for other people. And you are here this morning because somebody responded to the prompting of the Spirit of God to pray for you. Have you ever been prompted to pray for somebody? You're just going about your business, doing your thing, and God puts somebody on your heart and just kind of arrest you, and you just stop and have a burden for that person. It's not so you can have a burden for them. It's so that you can stop and pray for them. The Spirit of God is nudging you to intercede for them. And I'm so thankful this morning that every person here, somebody has been interceding for you and praying for you, and I'm so thankful you're here, and you're alive, and you're breathing, and God's at work in your life. Somebody is praying you through. I want to give you this concept, if you'll write this in your notes, and it's kind of a unique concept. I read this years ago in my study. It's called inter-Trinitarian communication. Not interstellar, inter-Trinitarian communication. Now, I want you to just understand that when you join in this sacred privilege of intercession, you are not generating prayer, you are not initiating prayer, you're not creating this prayer relationship, you're getting in on what's already in motion. It's kind of like white water rafting. You're not generating the current. You're just putting your boat in the river, and you're getting in the boat and hanging on for dear life. Whenever you choose to pray, You're not creating, you're not generating, you're not sparking something. You are simply getting into the river of what God's already been doing in the flow of his relationship. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And listen, as Baptists, we do not worship three gods. Trinity means three in one. One God who expresses himself to us, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Father is a creator of life. God the Son is a redeemer of life. And God the Holy Spirit is the comforter and the counselor and the one who empowers us to be on mission with God. So this inter-Trinitarian communication, here's what it looks like. If you'll write this in your notes, first of all, in your notes, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you and intercedes for you. In Timmy's prayer a moment ago during our prayer time, he mentioned how the Holy Spirit is interceding for us. So here's what I want you to understand. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you experience what's called a divine transaction. You become a child of God. In that moment, your sins are removed. The righteousness of Christ is imputed. You become the righteousness of Christ. You become a child of God. Your inner man is fit for heaven. You are filled by the Spirit of God. He lives inside of you. You become the walking tabernacle of the presence of God. You're a child of the living God. And he has taken up residence in you by the Holy Spirit. And yes, you are, as we preached on a Wednesday night a few weeks ago, a jar of clay. And I'm a jar of clay. But God has chosen to allow his Holy Spirit to take up residence in our lives as temples of his Holy Spirit. So he lives inside of you. He's with you 24/7, 365. And notice what God's word says. I have it in your notes for you. Romans 8, 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray. Have you ever been there? As we ought. But the Spirit himself, don't call him and it. He himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit, capital S, intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So as you decide, I'm going to join in this sacred privilege of intercession, it's not you going out on a limb to pray for somebody else. It's not you generating this prayer conversation. You're just simply stepping into the river of communication that's been going on for all eternity with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and you're invited into that inter-Trinitarian communication. Sounds like sci-fi, doesn't it? You're invited into that prayer relationship. Now, let me ask you this question. When you pray, is it okay to address the Holy Spirit in prayer? What do you think? Is it okay to address the Holy Spirit in prayer? And the answer is yes. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. In fact, as I pray through the Old Testament tabernacle every morning, and I've been doing that for 10 years, as I pray through that Old Testament tabernacle, which when you view it from the aerial view, the Google Earth view, it forms a cross. The seven furnishings in the tabernacle form a perfect cross. As I pray through the tabernacle, when I get to the golden lampstand, which represents the Holy Spirit, I address the Holy Spirit as my constant companion. Last Tuesday, I turned 46. Whew. Boy, I tell you what, time's flying by. But it reminded me that I've been walking with God for 36 years because I came to know the Lord when I was 10. And when I pray and address the Holy Spirit, I say, thank you for being my constant companion for 36 years. Thank you that before I surrendered to the Lordship of Christ, that you were convicting me of sin. You were drawing me to the Father. You were showing me that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, because the Holy Spirit always points to Jesus. It's okay to address the Holy Spirit in prayer, realizing that he lives inside of you and that he's interceding for you. And everywhere you go, he is. And it's okay whenever you're about to take finals. That'd be a good time to say, constant companion, Holy Spirit living inside of me, call to memory things I have not read or have not studied. Little humor. Not that I haven't prayed that one 100 times. But also notice Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. So we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father and intercedes for you. So the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, lives inside of us, our constant companion. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. And he's seated. Why is he sitting down? Because as the high priest every year, the high priest couldn't sit down because he had to keep bringing the sacrifice to atone for the sins of the people. But when Jesus became sin for us and the atoning sacrifice for our sin, he sat down because it is finished. And now he's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. Romans 8:34. Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Hebrews 9:24, for Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, for we which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself. Now to appear, where is Jesus? Now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Aren't you thankful this morning that whatever you're walking through, whatever you're experiencing in your life right now, that you are not alone? That even as you pray and begin to ask God to intervene in your situation, and you keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, what's so beautiful about that prayer relationship is when you step into that prayer relationship, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit have already been in divine communication on your behalf. And the Holy Spirit living inside of you has already been interceding for you. And Jesus, who died to set you free, is at the right hand of the Father, and he's interceding for you. And they know what to pray for you because they know where you are and they know where God wants you to be, and they're in perfect unity and harmony. Thus, the Trinity, tri-unity. So when you pray, don't ever forget what you're joining. You are joining in the sacred privilege of intercession with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Well, that'd preach right there. I know we're Baptists, so we got to stay calm. But if we weren't, we'd be on shouting ground right there. Number four, another purpose of prayer is to continue the ministry of Jesus on the earth. We are his hands and his feet. And we also continue his ministry through intercessory prayer. As we pray for other people, we are continuing the ministry of Jesus on the earth. Have you ever thought about this? One way to discover what's important to an individual is to listen to what they pray. If you want to know what someone values, listen to what they pray. When I was starting out in ministry, serving in a local church, I had one of the laymen in the church who periodically would drop by. Now, I go by Stephen. It's just like in the Bible, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, just like the Bible. I've never been stoned, just like the Bible. And this man would call me Steve. And in Louisiana, they call pastors brother, Brother Steve. And he would come and just drop in my office, and he'd say, Brother Steve, we got to pray. Now, I felt like something just blew up or there's a major explosion, something going on down the road. He's like, we got to pray. I just met a man who's going to hell. We got to pray. And I'd be all shook up by this. Like, well, Brother Tom, let's kneel down right here and let's pray. You dial, I'll hang up. So we would kneel down by the couch and he'd start praying, and he would pray and he'd pray and he'd pray, and he'd talk about that lost man going to hell, needs to get saved and get delivered from the fires of hell. He'd pray for this person. He'd pray and pray and pray. 30 minutes later, he would say this, and Lord, we don't know what to pray. But we're going to pray. And he would pray for 30 more minutes. Finally, it was my time. And I was about dead tired. And then I would pray. But oh, how that connected with me. Because anytime I would get at ease in Zion, start coasting in my Christianity, thinking everything's wonderful and awesome, and I can just coast, he would come in and say, Brother Stein, we got to pray. And so we'd pray for 30 more minutes. So what is important to Jesus? Well, you can discover that by listening to what he prayed. We don't have time to cover all of it. In John 17, notice, first of all, Jesus prayed for himself. Jesus prayed for himself. And if you'll look at John 17, it'd be wonderful if this week in your quiet time, you'll just spend time reading and feeding on John 17, what Jesus prayed, then you'll discover what he valued. Look at verse 4. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. So it speaks of completion. Jesus prays for himself. And then notice also in your notes, Jesus prayed for his disciples. Jesus prayed for his disciples. Verse 11b, John 17. Notice, Jesus said, Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are one. So he was praying for our alignment with God and then our unity with each other. He also prayed, verse 15, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, though we ask God, please deliver us from all this. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Remember, people are not the enemy. The enemy is the enemy. And even Jesus prayed to the Father that he would protect us from the evil one. So Jesus prayed for himself. He prayed for his disciples. Thirdly, he prayed for his future disciples. His future disciples. Verses 20 and 21 of John 17. I love this. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one. Just as Father, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Jesus was praying for us, that we would be one. That when the world saw Champion Forest Baptist Church united, they would know Jesus has sent us. And that God had sent Jesus to the earth. When you pray, you are continuing the ministry of Jesus on the earth. A few weeks ago, I was invited to go to KSBJ. And Capella's here. She'll remember this experience. I was speaking to the programming staff, all the DJs and the programming staff who allow us to hear what we hear on KSBJ. 89.3, KSBJ, God listens, which is a great phrase for our prayer series. And God just led me to speak to them about what was behind the production. In other words, we get the finished product. When you turn your radio on, this is what you hear. And it's Christ exalting. It's very inspirational, very moving. And so I said, let's talk about what's behind the production. Not the perfection you produce that we get to enjoy, but let's talk about what's behind the scenes and even behind the equipment. Let's talk about you. We're in this conference room with all the DJs and programming staff, a great team of people. And so I taught the lesson on just about your private world and nurturing a relationship with the Lord and keeping that vibrant and fresh. And then I asked them this question. What if in this room we took all the prayers that you have prayed this week as a programming staff and DJs? What if we took the prayers you have prayed personally this week and had them transcribed? And your prayers being transcribed, what would you be able to present to us today? Would it be a half sheet of paper? Would it be a whole sheet of paper? Would it be a nice booklet? Here's the prayers you prayed this week. They've been transcribed into book form. It's a little booklet. Or would it be a thick book? You've really been spending time communing with God and praying and agonizing in prayer. And we just had a moment in that environment. I was under deep conviction. Pastor Chris Todd, our media pastor who went with me, was under deep conviction. And God just showed up to bring all of us under conviction that it's not about what you can produce out there. It's about what God is doing in here. And are you joining the conversation? Prayer is a relationship. And it's more about what God wants to do inside of you to mold and shape you to be more like Jesus so that you will be ready for his use. So what if this morning we took the prayers you prayed this week and had them transcribed? And just one by one, we would just bring them up and have somebody read what you prayed this week. Would it be life-changing? Would it demonstrate that you have an intimate relationship with the Lord, or would it be very anemic and distant? We've all been there. We've all experienced those seasons of drought. And I'm calling us back to a praying church. And to be a praying church, we have to be committed to being a praying people. And I want to say this to you. Our love relationship with God is the most important relationship that we nurture. So let's start there and make that relationship our number one priority.